to talk.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. Iran-sponsored terrorism is blamed for the steady stream of roadside bombs targeting Americans in Iraq and Afghanistan for years. And now there's a major case of smuggling being alleged.
Federal prosecutors say four business people in Singapore have been arrested there, with the U.S. requesting extradition. Also charged, an Iranian, but he's in Iran. Officials say that country used companies in Singapore as go-betweens to buy radio transmission parts from a manufacturer in Minnesota. Parts that ended up in IEDs, improvised explosive devices, along Iraqi roads and highways. So this is the U.S. charging with some detail this time that Iranian bombs killed American soldiers in Iraq. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
How do you feel about the economy, the nation's, and your own?
What we had was a big drop in consumer expectations back in August. In September, we saw a little bit of recovery, and we gave that right back here in October.
Ken Goldstein at the Conference Board says confidence is as low as it's been since the low days of 09. Investors have been deserting Netflix again today, though Citigroup internet analyst Mark Mahaney says it's probably temporary.
I think it's reasonable to assume that they will right the ship, but we won't know that for 3, 6, maybe as long as 9 months.
The company acknowledged the loss of many subscribers a couple of months ago, and investors said sell. Customers, however, are expected to come back. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 124 points. The NASDAQ has lost 45 points so far today. Republican Rick Perry says the answer is cut, balance, and grow. His economic plan, cut the spending, balance the budget, and grow the economy, included is a 20% flat tax. CBS News political analyst John Dickerson.
Everybody loves tax simplicity. The idea that you would just file a postcard would make everybody deliriously happy. The problem, of course, has always been in the details.
Now a CDC panel suggests the HPV vaccine isn't just for young girls to protect against cervical cancer. Boys 11 to 13 should also get the shot to prevent genital warts and anal cancer, and for another reason.
In addition to providing direct benefit to boys, there's also the potential that vaccinating boys will reduce the spread of HPV from males to females.
That's Dr. Ann Schuchat at the CDC in Atlanta. Technicians have dismantled the last of the B-53s in Texas. Josh McConaughey at the Department of Energy.
It was one of the largest bombs in the American arsenal.
A 10,000-pound nuclear bomb, 600 times more powerful than what flattened Hiroshima. Someone bought a lottery ticket in North Carolina. It won $1 million, and they don't know it, and now it's too late. The ticket expired yesterday. Right now would not be the good time to check and find out it was yours. This is CBS News.
The Home Depot has made a special buy. Right now, Sylvania 60-watt double light 8-packs of incandescent bulbs are only $3.97 each. That works out to less than 50 cents a bulb, which also works out nicely for your wallet. So come in, stock up, and save on Sylvania 60-watt double light 8-packs right now, only $3.97 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only, 57-watt bulbs in California.
If you've been looking for Pandora jewelry, look no further. You'll find it at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora charms, rings, and bracelets from Jared. Jared has an outstanding Pandora collection, literally hundreds of items.
It can only be Jared!
Visit Jared throughout October and receive a Pandora pink leather travel box with any $125 Pandora purchase. See store for details.
How would you do this exactly?
They're trying to learn how to spacewalk on an asteroid. Nemo 15 commander and former space station astronaut Shannon Walker tells CBS News, an asteroid has no handholds, very little gravity.
So we've looked at a whole variety of things using hand-over-hand methods to move about, jetpacks to fly about, which is actually a lot of fun.
Mars rover principal investigator Steve Squires is also aboard.
What I'm able to try to contribute is my own experience from doing field geology on Earth and also with robots on Mars.
Squires, Walker, and their crewmates will spend 13 days underwater during NASA's 15th Nemo mission. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
The rest of the 25 million bees story from the overturned truck in Utah yesterday. Most of the load of bees was lost. They died. Officials say they were just not prepared for such a bee-fuddling problem. It was the honey company's last truckload to move 4 billion bees south for the winter. That's a bunch of bees. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Micro talks with a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts.
Stop by a Ford dealer now to buy four select tires and get a $100 rebate. Plus, get a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires and it involves brakes, too.
Correct.
Which is why it's called Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
Stop by a participating Ford dealer for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 11/30/11.
It's going to happen and you can't stop it. No, I'm not talking about unwanted friend requests on the internet. I'm talking about cold and flu season. So be prepared to fight back. Walmart has low prices every day on everything you need to stay healthy. Like Theraflu 6 count for $4.97. Mucinex and Lysol disinfectant spray. So stock up now, because cold and flu season will be here before you know it. As far as those unwanted friend requests, just tell them you have the flu and you don't want to get germs all over your keyboard. Save money. Live better. Walmart. Uses directly keep out of reach of children. Prices subject to change.
We have guests today, important guests. Bill McKibben's going to be speaking at the Fremont Theater on Sunday, and we're going to talk to the people that are bringing him here to talk to us.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
That's what's going on with that. So right around 12:30, we're going to have our guests are going to be in here. Rich is going to be here with Jim and Gina, and we're going to talk about this talk that's going to happen on Sunday at the Fremont. In the meantime, in between time. Oh, somebody sent me this. I thought it was kind of cute. Now, this is, I don't really know who this person is, okay, because I just don't. Dana Perino, she's on Fox News. Anyway, describing an interview she recently had with a Navy SEAL. After discussing all the countries he had been sent to, she asked if they had to learn all these different languages, and his reply was, "No, ma'am, we don't go there to talk."
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Charter Internet is keen on giving you more. Not a little more, a big more, as in more speed. Which means more streaming hoops, more celebrity scoops, more posts, more boasts, more webcam, more Cousin Pam. By delivering more speed, we make the web more fun. Moreover, it doesn't cost more. To learn more or sign up today, visit charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Your favorite word is not rutabaga, shimmy, or Xanadu. No, your favorite word is free, because it makes other words better, like guilt-free, termite-free, and faster internet speeds for free. That's what Charter customers just got, allowing them to feel footloose and fancy-free as they download more freely. Don't have Charter Internet? Feel free to sign up at charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply.
Country Oaks Care Center. Caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks. Owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine. Really nice friends. And that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
We will find out about today with the Tribune right here, a flashback, our highlight in history on October 25th in 1910, America the Beautiful, with words by Katharine Lee Bates and music by Samuel A. Ward was first published. And That's my pick for the national anthem. That's my pick. That's just me. Yeah, but I like to list a few and then see what people would pick. On this date in 1881, artist Pablo Picasso was born in Malaga, Spain. 1 year ago, an Indonesian earthquake triggered a tsunami of western Sumatra to kill more than 460 people and destroyed homes, mosques, and other buildings. Birthdays today. This is a quickie today. Birthdays today. Actress Jeannie Cooper is 83. Political strategist James Carville is 67. And pop singer. And very popular pop singer, Katy Perry, is 27 today. So we'll say happy birthday to them. Happy birthday to you if it is your birthday today.
Happy birthday to you.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
And we're going to have a CalCoast News update right now. And talk about all the things that are going on. And there's a lot of stuff in the news, boy. I'll tell you, there's a lot of stuff in the news. First off, there's a they discovered at the base of the mountain. You know, they discovered a body, and so it's been this person's been identified, and his name is Levinson, and he is Charles Levinson. Police. He was 63 years old. He does a lot of hiking, a lot of run around town. They found a plastic hotel motel room key in one of his pockets. So on CalCoastNews.com, if you look at it, they published a picture of it. And if you recognize where that key goes, you could help the police out by saying, we have an idea. So you could contact the police department. Now, the other thing is they want to know if anybody has seen or had seen or spoken to him Sunday and to contact the PD if you have any thoughts on that, too. So our coppers need your help. So see if we can help him out, and we can help out Charles Levinson, I hope. All right, this just came in, and it's interesting news, and that is that a lawsuit has been filed over Cal Poly president's salary. This is against the CSU system, and it was filed in L.A. claiming the administration broke the state's public disclosure laws this year by failing to reveal that the salary approved by trustees for the new president of Cal Poly was above the maximum published amount for the job. In January, CSU trustees approved a compensation package for Dr. Jeffrey Armstrong, the new president of Cal Poly, for $350,000, with an additional annual supplement of $30,000 to be paid from the campus foundation. Until then, the university's published salary range for campus presidents was from $223,584 to $328,212. The lawsuit is being filed by Lillian Taze, president of the California Faculty Association, who represents 22,000 CSU employees. We're saying you have to give the public a chance to comment on the fact that you're raising it above the maximum. We all had an obligation to be open, particularly with salaries at the minimum. California Basically Keene Act requires state boards and commissions to conduct messages in public and to meetings rather than public and to provide public notice of those sessions unless the action is authorized for a closed session, which we would assume this was not. And so that's where that's going. That's what's happening with that. All right, other things that are going on. There was some of our news is bad. I apologize that it just is, but it is a kind of 74-year-old California Valley woman, 74-year-old, was allegedly beaten by her former boyfriend so severely Sunday that she had to be airlifted to a hospital. After receiving a 911 call, San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's deputies responded to a remote area in the 11,000 block of Dixon Trail and heard a woman calling for help. Douglas Ray Flatta, who's 56, was arrested at the scene. Cal Fire requested a medical evacuation helicopter. And as soon as the injured woman was flown to Twin Cities Hospital, she has not yet been identified. Flata, I think I'm saying this right, is F-L-A-T-A, is in San Luis Obispo County Jail on $500,000 bond. He's been charged with attempting murder, domestic violence, and terrorist threats. Normal in the news? I guess not. So that would be news with it. Okay, now, so here was another big story. The RAND Corporation on Monday retracted a controversial report on crime around L.A. medical marijuana clinics. After discovering major flaws in the study's methodology, the Santa Monica Research Institution, one of the most prestigious in the nation, made the decision after realizing they had failed to include critical data from the LAPD. Yeah. That's where you'd get the data, wouldn't you? Okay. A study of crime data near dispensaries published last month that led RAND researchers to suggest that the stores, which usually have guards and surveillance cameras, may help reduce crime in their neighborhoods. Lawyers in the city attorney's office were outraged. They have been struggling to reduce the number of pot outlets and have argued that they are a threat to public safety. Special Assistant City Attorney Jane Usher and Assistant City Attorney Asher Greenberg complained that the report had critical flaws, one of which was failing to obtain and or accurately report the available crime stats. This is the right outcome, Usher said Monday. Putting information that's not credible in front of the public and in front of policymakers does a disservice to everybody. However, medical marijuana advocates hope to use the report to dispute allegations that the dispensaries caused crime and had blasted Rand for bucking the political pressure when it took the report off its website 2 weeks ago while it reviewed the criticism. This medical marijuana thing, it's tough to get hold of anymore. It's not working out so good. Prop 215 be damned. That's the way it's going. All right. Another story we had in the news today. We mentioned yesterday that CBS's Pierpoint died yesterday in Santa Barbara. And then this is Uncovered San Luis Obispo, a piece by Karen Beely, who we'll be talking to on Friday right here on Talk is Cheap, and do our weekend review. This is it's a long story, but let me see if I can do with it in a brief moment here. Bruce Gibson, a San Luis Obispo County supervisor, boasted on his campaign website that he advocates transparency, is under fire for failing to disclose some of his assets as required by law. State law requires that supervisors fill out a statement of economic interest each year and disclose stocks they own. In addition, they are required to report when they purchase or sell stocks on a 700 form filed annually with the county clerk recorder. Now, this is what Julie Rodewald said. Supervisors have to claim any stocks they own over $2,000 in value, which relate to business enterprise in San Luis Obispo County. Said County Clerk Recorder Julie Rodewald, they must also be required to close when they acquire or dispose of stock. So apparently, he listed a couple of stocks when he came on board. Then all of a sudden, he had a bunch of stocks valued up to maybe, I think it was $100,000 or maybe $500,000. $100,000. And then, and this was investments in Wells Fargo, Washington Mutual, Bank of America, PepsiCo, Verizon, and Microsoft. A year later, even though he did not disclose selling the stock, he claimed only stock ownership in a farm supply company. And there's also some concern. There's some concern that he also had a real estate investment situation that would profit him, depending on legislation passed. So, a decision made. Anyway, that's what's going on. We'll talk to Karen about it more on Friday because she has all the background information. I think that's what we got today from CalCoastNews.com. Don't forget, you can listen to KYNS Live by going to Talk is Cheap in the upper right-hand corner, clicking on it. The logo for SlowTalkIsCheap.com will come up. It'll say Listen Now. You can either listen there or listen to another page. And you can listen to 1340 all day, all night, all day and all night. That's what you choose. So that's what's happening. That's our news update from CalCoastNews.com.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Okay, I have my people are here. So the question always is, okay, Bill, how are you going to handle this? And what exactly are you going to do? How are you going to make it work? Because you have to sit here, and they don't really sometimes. They have to bring them in. They don't really understand. They have to bring them in. So we will do this. Let me see if I can do this for us. Okay. How about Jasmine? That's a Jazz. And then we'll bring them in. We'll get things straightened out.
Hey, Chair, you're a decisive guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe not. But I can't decide.
Well, then you might have a tough time if you win the Shoemash Casino Resort's October car giveaway.
Why is that?
Well, it's a mix of the world's finest luxury cars, each with plush leather seating, high-performance engine, precision handling, and sleek European design.
Wow.
And you get to choose the model you want.
Really? Like what?
Well, there's the sophisticated Jaguar XF.
Ooh, I could go for that.
The stylish Audi A6 luxury sports sedan.
Oh, that would be good, too.
And the elegant Mercedes E350 sedan.
Okay, definitely that one. Maybe.
Come in for our 5 luxury car mix giveaways at 10 p.m. on Sundays in October, together with free play drawings from 9 p.m. to midnight. Qualify by playing with your Club Shoemash card all month long. You can even earn double entries every Thursday.
5 luxury car mix giveaways.
Decisions, decisions, decisions.
Only at the Shoemash Casino Resort.
Do you love looking for adventure? Do you love getting away for a weekend and taking friends with you? If so, you'll love the 2011 Subaru Outback. It's always ready for anything and is available now at Rancho Grande Subaru. The go-anywhere capability of symmetrical all-wheel drive lets you pick a point on the map and just go, no matter what condition the road is in. It's a 2010 IIHS top safety pick. And with 29 miles to the gallon, it has better fuel economy than midsize SUVs like Jeep Grand Cherokee and many two-wheel drive crossovers. Plus, the Outback is built in a zero landfill plant, because when you love seeing the world, you want to keep it as beautiful as you can. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Experience it for yourself today at Rancho Grande Subaru.
Rancho Grande Subaru, 1404 Auto Parkway off Los Osos Valley Road in San Luis Obispo. Or check us out online at ranchograndesubaru.com.
2010 top safety picks include 2011 Subaru Outback. EPA estimated fuel economy for 2011 Subaru Outback 2.5i CVT, 29 mpg highway versus 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee two-wheel drive, 23 mpg highway. Actual mileage may vary.
All right. Talk is Cheap, your friends and neighbors network right here on 1340 KYNS San Luis Obispo. Very special guests are in my studio. I have Rich Garash with me, and I have Jim Cole. And we're going to talk to them about what's going on with, and we don't use the term global warming on Talk is Cheap. We use the term climate change so that we get people not to get all crazy and upset. And so I'll tell you what this is about, of course, is that Bill McKibben, who's a renowned author and environmentalist, and he's written The Brave New Planet, The Fight for a Livable Climate. He's got a brand new book out, and it's called The Earth, and it's E-A-A-R-T-H, The End of Nature. He wrote Deep Economy. All these things are involved. He's a man that says, you know what, we already have to embrace the fact that we have climate change has already happened to us. So now where are we going from here? And so this is very interesting because Jim is going to talk to us about some of the science that we need to kind of understand. And then Rich is I'll let Rich introduce himself and what he does exactly and why he's here. But I'll let Jim do that first. So my first guest on the air is Jim Cole. Hi, Jim. Welcome.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. So now describe what you are and how you're involved in this.
I'm a research scientist. I work part-time for the University of California at Berkeley.
Okay.
We work with the California Energy Commission in developing the state's renewable energy resources. And that's so that we can respond effectively to climate change, because we have to get off of fossil fuel-related resources and onto solar and other renewable energy resources.
So, if I asked you, if I said to you, could estimate, I don't know if you can do this or not, but if I said to you, how many people maybe in California, how many scientists in California are looking at climate change, how many in the country, would you have any numbers at all?
Oh, I think there are, I would say, 1,000 scientists in the U.S. that are working on different aspects of global warming, climate change. In different aspects, in the biology, in the atmospheric science, all of the different aspects of the effect of climate change on us.
What is, and so now let me ask if I can, is so how much, not politicians and all, grandma and everybody's got their own ideas, but if I ask you, other scientists that are legitimately part of what would be considered part of what climate change would be. I'm not talking about, some mathematician over here that says, well, I'm just going to throw my 2 cents in. But if you look at the scientists like yourself that are involved in this, how many people still poo-poo it?
99% say it's real. 1% perhaps are skeptical, and they're mostly funded by the fossil fuel industry, the oil and gas industry.
All right, that's Jim Cole. We're going to be talking more about Jim Cole, and we're going to talk to him about a bunch of different stuff. And then Rich Karash, I'm saying that right, Karash?
You are.
Yes. All right, well, I can't believe it. Rich Karash is with me. And now explain your what you do and your position, this because you're kind of very interesting here. This is a whole new, I think, a whole new take for a lot of people.
Okay. Well, first of all, Bill, thanks for having us on your show today.
Sure.
This is a great opportunity. I'm the Executive Director of Central Coast Clergy and Laity for Justice, CCCLJ. It's a mouthful, I know. We are an interfaith organization. We focus our attention on social and environmental issues, issues of environmental justice, preeminently right now, and on the Central Coast. So we bring the faith community perspective to a wide range of issues that we live with, wrestle with, struggle with almost every day.
And I've heard of your organization, and you've been in the news before. And so I find it fascinating. I think people will find it fascinating to talk to you and to hear you, because it's there obviously are ethical implications to whatever we do. I don't care what we do. I don't care if
right.
you build a horseshoe pit in your backyard. You know, somewhere along the line, all these things cumulatively add up and mean something. And so we're going to talk about more of that. All right, I'm going to get back to Rich, if I can, right now. I'm sorry, Jim. And if I get the names right and I get the thing going here, maybe my seating chart I could change. All right, Jim.
Yes.
All right, here we go. We got now, so here's the biggest, I guess, if you take the lay people and you listen to the radio people and all these other people that don't matter at all, but the argument is this. Is are we in a cycle of climate change that is natural to the Earth, or are we in a cycle of climate change that we've contributed to?
We are contributing to it by increasing the carbon dioxide concentration in the atmosphere. It has increased up to 300 parts per million now, and is headed towards 450 parts per million by 2050. So we are injecting into the atmosphere carbon dioxide and other gases, which absorb the radiation. The sun hits the Earth and produces heat, and that heat becomes trapped by these molecules in the atmosphere. So this is just basic science of what is going on. So we're creating this problem. These concentrations of gases in the atmosphere are directly connected with human action.
Now, could it also be that two things are happening at once, that we're screwing things up and that we're going through a cycle?
It's possible the Earth goes through climatic cycles, but we are conducting the world's largest experiment by injecting these gases in the atmosphere, which have known scientific properties in terms of how they trap the heat. And we're increasing these concentrations, and this is causing a global increase in temperature from 2 degrees Fahrenheit now over the past 30 years, and it's going to go up by roughly 6 to 8 to 10 degrees Fahrenheit by the end of the next century. And so through this process of increasing the concentration of these gases in the atmosphere, this has not happened. This increase in carbon dioxide and other gases in the atmosphere have not happened previously under these various climatic cycles. So we are injecting the situation, which basically has a very well defined cause and effect relationship.
Well, I think, you know, people, you know, this is where the computer's a marvelous item. You know, you can start Googling stuff and saying, okay, how many tons of carbon dioxide do we put in the air because of vehicles? I'll tell you, I don't know the number, I don't remember, but it knocked me off my chair, was I came across a number for how many tons of crap we put in the air from the L.A. Basin by using charcoal starter. In a year. And, I mean, you know, and it seems like an innocuous little thing. Who cares? You know, you're doing barbecues. It's absolutely insane. It's tons and tons and tons and tons of stuff goes in the atmosphere from charcoal starter. I couldn't believe it, you know. And then you take all the obviously the motor vehicles we have, you take the factories we have, you take all this other stuff we have. And the thing that people have to remember, too, is, I think, is that while we try to be have some stringent regulations more and more these days on this, I don't know if all of a sudden they're going to bail out of the EPA or something. I don't know. Let's not talk about that yet. But let's say we look at what we have as far as regulations in this country. They don't have them in every country. You know, lots of, you know, especially you look at Asia. In India, the largest growing places in the whole wide world, and they don't care. They're like, you know, fine. We're doing our thing, and we're not concerned about it, you know. And for instance, even the fact that we have catalytic converters on our cars, at least it's a shot. You know, they don't. They just say, okay, fine. It goes out the back end, and that's the way it is, right?
Yeah. Well, we have 5% of the world's population, and we emit 25% of the greenhouse gas emissions. So that is basically we're a very rich economy, and we feel that we are entitled to emit these gases as part of our normal lifestyle. Now, China is the second largest emitter. It just passed us. But they have a population that's 10 times our population. So it's really a question of what is our fair share of the planet emissions.
But here's the interesting thing, though.
Yeah.
That China, though, is in its in my estimation, in the long run, I think China is going to be by itself a bigger problem. Because China is a developing country as far as their industrial and their consumer goods that pollute, you know, like vehicles, and they're just sort of coming into this thing. So now when you take a billion people and you give them a car, holy dump truck. I mean, that's going to be quite amazing.
And it's going to basically, they're going to compete for a dwindling supply of oil resources around the planet, and India is also growing at a rapid rate. So we have the U.S., China, and India competing for a dwindling supply of petroleum. It's not a pretty sight. Bill McKibben is, the Keystone Project involves importing tar sand converted oil from Canada down through the U.S., and one of the things that McKibben is going to talk about is the Keystone Project, because we're going to convert all of the coal and other resources of the planet into oil, because that's what drives our economy. And it's not a pretty sight.
I can imagine it's not a pretty sight. And of course, then we have, you know, we have these other developments nowadays with this fracking business for gas and fracking for oil. And, you know, what are we? So now we have a whole new aspect of what we're doing, quote, to the planet and what we're doing to this country. And they're finding out, you know, that this fracking doesn't come without a cost. And there's a guy that advertises for ExxonMobil or something. He sits there and says, you know, by God, we got cement around it and everything's fine and life's good. Right, like every oil project we've had, life is good, right?
Well, we're in a situation where the environment and energy are now competing against each other in terms of interests. You saw what happened with the oil spill in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, an environmental disaster because we're trying to get oil. We're going to do this to tar sands. So we're in that situation now of going to develop every energy resource with environmental consequences. So that's our situation, Bill.
You know, I think this summer, I think it should have been, I mentioned this yesterday, as a matter of fact, on the air, I think it should have been made clear a little bit to people to say, you know, you can all day long you can say, well, we're not really doing anything, or it's not really that bad, or whatever the heck the case. Let's take the simplest thing in the whole wide world, and that's the polar bear population. And so here we have polar bears that are drowning, dying of starvation because they can't get from ice floe to ice floe because the ice floes aren't there anymore. And that's, we have reached that point on this planet that we've already done that to them. And so it's not going to get better. You know, it's going to get worse. And so it seems like a little thing, but if you look at that and go, okay, what does that mean? And then, you know, people talk about, but everybody wants to say, nah, that can't happen. Are you serious? That can't. The oceans can't rise so much they're going to flood everybody in the whole way, you know, all along the coast, but that's not true, is it?
Well, yes, the islands in the middle of the Pacific. There's a small country there that is basically getting buried with water. And it really comes back to the ethical question, which I hope you talk more with Rich about. You know, what is moral or ethically responsible for us in the, given the situation
where we are? We're going to turn to Rich here in just a sec. Let me remind everybody, my guests are Jim Cole and Rich Karash, and we're talking about these things because Bill McKibben, who's a famed environmental person, is coming to San Luis Obispo. He'll be at the Fremont Theater on Sunday from 6:30 to 9 p.m. It costs $10 to get in. Will they be selling tickets at the door?
We are almost sold out, Bill.
Oh, you are? Okay,
yeah.
Well, here, then you better get hold of a ticket, and let me tell you where you do that. It's CCC4, the number 4, justice.eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E, .com. I'll give that again. That's CCC, I'll get it later. CCC4justice.eventbrite, all one word. Everything's one word, of course. .com. And the phone number, if you need to get hold of somebody, is 805-704-3356. That's 704-3356. Bill McKibben, who's going to be speaking at the Fremont Theater from 6:30, 9 o'clock. This is going to be kind of a fascinating do, I think. Let's turn to Rich Karash and talk about laity for justice and how do we look at what we're doing in a moral sense?
The kinds of things that Jim was alluding to in his describing the science behind this and the realization that you don't negotiate with physics and chemistry. So what we're putting into the atmosphere of the planet has predictable consequences. There are various models that are used to extend out over the next say two decades through the end of the century. So we're talking about the next 20 to maybe 75, 80 years.
Right.
And the scenarios that people come up with range from grim at best to catastrophic at worst. And faith communities, by their nature, are equipped in terms of their language systems, their traditions, their commitments to caring for other people and increasingly caring for the planet, that faith communities find that they are being positioned to act almost as first responders. It's a kind of a new concept, a new model that's being proposed, and that faith communities, because they have this tradition behind them, are in a position to look at the changes that are coming and the consequences that are going to be imposed upon individuals and families and whole communities. We see this already in terms of the economic crisis that has engulfed the country the last two or three years. And
well, there was no morals involved in that disaster. Yeah.
But in terms of responding to the needs,
we've got
hungry people, we've got homeless people,
yeah,
and
got
faith
problems.
Communities,
yeah.
Certainly the rest of society, already find itself overwhelmed with problems.
Now, let me ask this question. So, are clergies being addressed to these things more often than they were before? Do we talk more about what's happening socially with us and what's happening in our environment, in a church environment?
Increasingly, many congregations do. Not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain. You need a certain kind of a culture within congregational life to be able to address the issues in ways that are that are constructive and helpful and positive. And because these discussions bleed over into economics and the politics, it can be a dicey proposition for people. I think certainly more and more people of faith are becoming aware of the need to have those conversations.
Rich Karash, we're talking with right now, here's an interesting thing. And so I'll say, okay, let me look at Bill Benica's life and what I'm doing, and am I more aware than I used to be aware, and do I do things differently than I used to? I I think I do. I have like an electric lawnmower instead of a power mower. I recycle. You know, I do the recycling stuff. I try to, I try not to use a lot of water on my yard, you know, that kind of stuff. It's not a big thing, but I think that it's the little steps we can take. We're overwhelming. You know, you have a society that's been based on the automobile for the last 100 years, mm-hmm. and you right. go, okay, how do I change that? I don't know that we really can immediately change anything like that. You know, that's going to be a matter of when there's alternatives that and people can afford those alternatives, which hopefully will come, that that they can take advantage of those. What really concerns me is this. And this is again a moral issue, and the moral issue has to do with the oil companies and where we get our stuff. The oil companies have, no matter how you look at any alternative kind of fuel or any alternative kind of energy for transportation, the oil companies have the network of distribution. They have the total advantage of having that already in place. You know, and you can imagine if somebody came up with something new and said we're going to sell hydrogen, and what it would take to try to duplicate all the gas stations in the country that, you know, sell gas. So, but the issue then to me is, here's where a moral issue is to me, and I've seen it a couple times, and it drives me crazy. You'll have someone, a scientist, come up and say, okay, here's what I've learned to do. There was a guy not too long ago on the news, and he was able to extract hydrogen out of water at a cost of, you know, it was like 25 cents a gallon, the equivalent amount of gasoline, that much energy out of the hydrogen. And so you heard about him, and then all of a sudden he disappears. You don't hear a thing in the whole world again. And my contention is that he's probably, that patent's bought out by the oil industry, because they don't want that. You know, well, why do they want that?
Sure.
You know, and that's the part of the morality also that I think troubles a lot of people. You know, the BP oil spill really, really punched a lot of us between the eyes. You know, we had the Alaskan oil spill, but the BP oil spill, it was so, obviously news is what it is today, but you know what, when you examine something to that extent and you examine the people involved and what they're doing and what their reactions are and you know, and at the end of it, here's the part I think that so disturbed me. At the end of it, BP basically said, well, we're lucky the oil just dissipated and went away, you know. And it's like, who's going to believe that story? Nobody believes that. I mean, you can say it, but don't, you know, it just doesn't go away. Some of it does. Some evaporates and some of it breaks up. But somewhere there's a whole bunch of oil still moving around out there.
Right.
It has to do that. It's at the bottom of the ocean. Where how's it going to get away? And so when these corporations are so disingenuous with what they tell us, you know, how do you react to that?
Well, I think part of it, I mean, one of the deficits that we are living with today is a leadership deficit at all levels of society. And to some extent, I would have to say that faith communities are subject to that same criticism. And because we're not getting the leadership that we need from political centers of power and economic centers of power, increasingly the questions that need to be addressed are coming back to the grassroots. And we see it in the occupation movement itself, that at least at the grassroots there's the beginning of an awakening. And so one of the challenges of faith for faith communities and for people of faith is to feed the energy at the grassroots level. That's one of the reasons that we've invited Bill McKibben to come is to help us with that very process at the level where so many of us are living today. And from there, the environmental movement, as many other movements, begins to grow and to move into other areas. But I think, too, another concern for faith communities, another gift that we have to offer the wider community, is a sense of hope. Because this problem is so overwhelming, and certainly one of the reasons that denial is still a significant issue that we're dealing with is very simply that you know, you look at, you extend this stuff out, and it just is so overwhelmingly and so depressing that in desperation people run away and hide from it as best they can. And so at the grassroots level, one of the things, and particularly here in the Central Coast, we really are equipped to deal with this because we have a very sophisticated environmental community mm-hmm. in this part of the state. And we already see ways in which we're going to extend this out in the weeks and the months ahead is to draw upon the interest and the gifts and the talent that's already there in faith communities and beyond to bring at the grassroots level people together so that we can begin to work and begin to have an impact in places like Sacramento and hopefully in Washington and other world capitals around the world.
I think we had a story when it was in the news yesterday, I think. And anyway, they were talking about France and how much wind generation they have in France. And it was remarkable. I mean, they have tons and tons and tons of it all over the place. And so then they were going to put, off the coast, they were going to put some more of these wind turbines. And so there was some issue about, you know, if you're sitting at Cannes and you look out, you know, and they said it was 7 miles out. I don't know. What's the horizon, 12 miles? Something like that?
Something like that.
7 miles, I mean, you might see the top of the thing a little bit. Anyway, I've never quite understood why that's such a huge issue, but okay. Anyway, but you know, we have as many people, it seems, fighting for the things that we're trying to do, like if you take a look at what's going on in Carrizo Plains and the solar things that are going on. And so we've had one solar failure in bankruptcy that this country helped finance, which is one mazillionth of how much money we poured down the tubes and every other thing we bailed out in the whole wide world. And it's not really even a blip on the radar financially. And you know, all of a sudden that's the reason that, well, see, this solar stuff is crap. It's just going to cause us all these problems. And I think that's pathetic. I think it's pathetic that we grab onto a situation like that, one single company, and say, okay, well, see, the solar, that's not going to work. Now, we have this other issue, and I'm going to ask Jim about it, Jim Cole. And that is, you know, we get into this business of, and I'm going to, maybe you know about this and maybe you don't, because it depends, you know, I don't know if you know this science, but I sit here and I say on the radio at times, I go, okay, they want to build a solar farm out there, and they say, okay, we got rabbits or squirrels or whatever the heck we got. Now, two things that I wonder about. When they built the Alaska pipeline, they thought it was just going to, you know, ruin all the wildlife, and it didn't. They adapt to it. And when you put a solar plant out in a place like Carrizo, and then one of two things to me is real. You could relocate the animals that are there. You know, you could find them and relocate them. Or, barring that, I think people, but you tell me what you think. I think people seem to overblow the cause and effect thing of what's going to happen out there in a situation like that. I don't see it as that big an environmental disaster. I think that animals know to move. They do. They move. And it's not like you're covering the entire Carrizo Plain with solar panels and they got no place to move to. Now, does that make sense or am I crazy?
Well, I think
if I'm crazy, hold up that little paddle that we talked about.
I think the environmental community was concerned about it. I think they've worked through a compromise which seems to be working for everyone in that particular case. The county is working on part of a project called the Renewable Energy Secure Communities Project, where we've been looking at the ability of the county through its we have solar is the resource that's really quite prevalent. And there's a solar map that's been produced in this project, and we basically conclude that we have the ability to provide electricity, solar energy, to meet our needs at the county level. We also, there's another Food Alliance project, which is realizing that we have the ability to feed ourselves within the county. The county is beginning to look at the water resources. Roughly, water demand and supply are in balance right now. So we have the ability to be secure in food, water, and energy if we can come together as a community, as Rich is saying, and begin to describe to the politicians what we want to see happen. And it's really going to take community people coming together at the grassroots to articulate what we want. And Bill McKibben is coming. He's going to stimulate this conversation. And I think if we can begin to mobilize our grassroots resources of our community, I think we have a chance of being reasonably self-sufficient. But that's new. That's new for all of us. We have not really demonstrated our ability for many years to sort of come together and say what we'd really like to see happen. It's going to be interesting.
The red flag, it seems to me, on the Central Coast, though, the red flag is the water. You know, and actually, you know what, the red flag is water is the red flag in lots of places these days. You know,
yes.
That's what's going on. So here's what's interesting, and I'll proffer this idea. You know, when we ran into desperate times there in the 80s, you know, when we got down to where the margarita was a puddle, and we were on the verge of being in very serious shape, and then we luckily got those rains in March. But they talk about conservation and, you know, we should conserve. But maybe we should, you know, I don't know if we beat people over the head enough with that, you know, about how much they should conserve. And the other thing is, I'm not saying that you should have, like, strict rationing like we had when we almost had no water. But I think that, you know, I think PASO instituted some water rationing here a while back this summer. And I don't know that that's a bad thing. I mean, it's not a bad thing. We can get by with it, you know.
I think one of the things that we need to interject more and more into our public conversations is the notion of the common good.
Mm-hmm.
And as we look ahead to the ways that we need to respond to the changes that are already present, this is going to be a real challenge, because we've already seen the whole idea of the social contract just pretty much, you know, ripped to shreds. And to reestablish that sense that, you know, that we are in relationship with one another, and we are in relationship with the entire network that we call creation or the
mm-hmm.
planet,
okay.
and that our own individual well-being depends very much on the well-being of everyone and everything else. As we come to at least recognize the need to have that conversation, then I think that's going to be the beginning of the change that we need to have. Faith communities are not alone in needing to foster that idea, but certainly that's a key idea that needs to come out of faith communities and people of faith.
A very nice discussion there. We could go on for hours, I think. But I'll tell you what, we'll let Mr. McKibben do the talking, Bill McKibben, on Sunday. He'll be at the Fremont Theater this Sunday from 6:30 to 9 p.m. There are some tickets left. There are only 10 bones. And you can go to ccc.eventbrite.com for tickets. And if you have any questions, you can call 704-3356. Bill McKibben coming Sunday to the Fremont Theater, and that's at 6:30. My guests have been Rich Garage and Jim Cole, and I think it was a very interesting discussion, you guys, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do it.
Thanks for the invitation, Bill.
You betcha.
Thank you, Bill.
Now, I told the guys what I'm going to do is, this is Donald Fagen back in the 70s or sometime, 70s. Had a song that was interesting. The International Geophysical Year, I remember when I was a kid in school, and it was from July 1st of 1957 to December 31st of 1958. So it actually was a year and a half. Why they didn't call it International Geophysical Year and a Half, we don't know. Or 18 months, but they didn't do that. So anyway, they called it IGY, and there's a song about it, and it's a good one.
Carnes. The U.S. economy is struggling. The Eurozone troubles continue. European leaders will not be signing off on a grand plan for fixing the continental debt crisis, at least not tomorrow. And people worry the dominoes may yet fall.
The drop in confidence was more evident in higher income households. Overall, households are worried about their future incomes, and that's a fear that could hold back consumer spending.
CBS's Alexis Christophorus, Wall Street. The Dow lost about 203 points. The Nasdaq off about 64 today. For the first time in 2 weeks, the plaza is clear in front of Oakland, California City Hall. Police moved out the Occupy protesters, and they don't like it.
What happened this morning in this space is, well, not surprising, utterly amazing that as Americans we're allowing this to occur, that this monopoly of violence can be used, force can be used against citizens.
Police arrested 75 of them for camping illegally. Protesters pelted the police with rocks, bottles, and cooking utensils. A two-week-old baby was pulled safely from the earthquake rubble in Turkey, but the situation for tens of thousands is desperate. Aftershocks continue, and it's cold there.
The weather is closing in. The temperature is forecast to drop. Everyone's huddling down under blankets now. It's going to get grimmer. When the rain starts falling, it's going to turn the dust that has been so difficult on everyone's throats here. It's going to turn it into a kind of soup.
Al Jazeera English reporter Anita McNaught. People are afraid or cannot go inside for shelter out of fear the buildings might yet come down. Now you can know where your hands pick up the most germs in your routine activities.
A team of hygienists hit 6 U.S. cities and swabbed public surfaces.
Surfaces that maybe you touch every day on your way to work as out of habit and you don't really think about it.
Dr. Kelly Earhart says they found bacteria and viruses.
It was pretty high levels.
Gas pump handles were the filthiest, followed by escalator rails and ATM buttons. She says the Kimberly-Clark study shows you should wash your hands a lot. Heather Bosch, CBS News.
Iran is being accused of complicity now in a smuggling operation related to roadside bombs targeting American soldiers.
Four business people in Singapore have been arrested. The U.S. wants them extradited. Also charged an Iranian, but he's in Iran. Prosecutors say that country used companies in Singapore to buy parts from a manufacturer in Minnesota, parts that ended up in improvised explosive devices in Iraq.
CBS's Dan Revive is in Washington. A gun-smuggling sting operation in New York allegedly caught some interesting fish. Five New York City police officers are among the dozen people arrested. In addition to them, three former cops, a jail guard from New Jersey, and three civilians are charged with trying to bring rifles, handguns, stolen cigarettes, and slot machines to New York. This is CBS News.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
That means that you've got lots of different tires?
Yes, we do.
And how do I know as a consumer that Ford has the kind of tire that I need for my particular vehicle?
Well, we carry 11 major brands, so chances are what you're looking for, we have it.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts going on.
You're selling brakes as well?
Yes, we are.
Why should somebody bring their car here to get a brake set?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Ford all day long.
And when you stop by now, you can buy Ford Select tires and get a $100 rebate, plus a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service. That's expert service and money back in your pocket.
So you have a lot of tires, and it's a big event.
It's a huge event.
And it involves brakes, too.
Yes, sir.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
Be participating Ford dealer. Visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 11/30/11.
A nurse who treated Michael Jackson testified for the defense today that Jackson asked her to get propofol for him. She says she refused. Israel's next lopsided prisoner swap has been given a green light.
Israel will release 25 Egyptian prisoners in exchange for Ilan Grapel, a dual Israeli U.S. citizen arrested in Cairo on suspicion of spying for Israel. Israeli analyst David Horovitz.
The price that is being asked is a price that Israel feels it can safely pay.
The price is much lower than a prisoner swap last week when Israel traded hundreds of Palestinian detainees for a captive soldier held in Gaza. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
No way, says Somerset, Pennsylvania's water company. It is leaking more than 30% of the water from its pipes. They think people are stealing water, siphoning it off with extra taps, bypassing the meters. So they'll be putting in more meters. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The Home Depot has made a special buy. Right now, Sylvania 60-watt double light 8-packs of incandescent bulbs are only $3.97 each. That works out to less than 50 cents a bulb, which also works out nicely for your wallet. So come in, stock up, and save on Sylvania 60-watt double light 8-packs right now, only $3.97 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only 57-watt bulbs in California.
If you've been looking for Pandora jewelry, look no further. You'll find it at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora charms, rings, and bracelets from Jared. Jared has an outstanding Pandora collection, literally hundreds of items.
It can only be Jared!
Visit Jared throughout October and receive a Pandora pink leather travel box with any $125 Pandora purchase. See store for details.
So would I, only you believe like I.
Oh, I've been so mad. Food for thought from Farmers. No one wants to think about all the things that can go wrong. But at Farmers Insurance, that's what we've been doing for the last 80 years. So today, our disaster response team watches developing storms so we can be first on the scene. To lend a hand, a strong back, or even just a shoulder. For auto, home, small business, and life insurance, call your local Farmers agent today.
Mike Wright's the right one to call at 541-3942.
Looking for a great holiday gift idea that won't break the bank? Remember this name.
Slow Roasted Coffee.
That's right.
Slow Roasted Coffee.
They're your local neighbors, and their coffee is always a crowd pleaser. Now's the time of year to enjoy Slow Roasted Coffee's special holiday blends. Candy cane, pumpkin pie, winter wonderland, and a favorite, cinnamon gingerbread. Folks love their coffee, and if you're wondering what to give your coworker or need to pick up a host gift before you go to that holiday party, it's Slow Roasted Coffee to the rescue. Got someone out of town? Send them a gift from the happiest place on earth. Shop online at slowroasted.com. They'll ship it for you. Locally, you'll find Slow Roasted Coffee at grocery stores throughout the county. This holiday season, don't just drink coffee, enjoy it. Drink Slow Roasted Coffee. So good.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, in the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Name that tune. Theme music from Kojak right there. You're Bill Bagley. You're Talking Sheep, your friends and neighbors network on 1340 KYNS, your news station, and San Luis Obispo. And I have phone numbers you want to call in today. 786-2578. That's 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. 1-866-937-1340. I have somebody come in tomorrow, but somebody wrote it on the calendar, and they haven't told me who it is. They haven't told me what it's about. I have no idea at this point. I have no clue. Hey, just snuck it in there. Hey, keep it right there in there. Hey, so other than that, everything's going swell. Hope your day's going okay. We've had cloudy and all that in the morning, and then not that it is today, not very warm in the afternoon. And then at night, it's going to be cold. It's like 47 tonight, 45 tomorrow night.
Cold at night.
What else we got going on? Well, I want to play a thing here. This is kind of, because you know they have this big, I've never watched it, you know what I mean? When you're chubby and you're not trying to lose weight, really, you know, you don't want to watch other people accomplishing what you're not doing anything about. So why would you do that? Why would you bother yourself with that? So anyway, but so you got that, everybody's losing weight. What's it called? The Great Weight Loss, the whatever it's called. Anyway, but here's a young lady who lost 100 pounds and wins a beauty title. Don't tell me.
I actually used to sit where you're sitting. I'm the same person that I was in high school, although my exterior may have looked a little different.
For Bree Boyce, becoming a beauty queen was beyond her wildest dreams.
I was just so unhappy with the way I looked, but yet I still continued to eat unhealthy and lack of physical activity.
And at 17 years old, Boyce weighed 234 pounds.
I would come home from school, sit on the couch for hours, watch TV, and snack all day long. I would drive to a fast food place, pick up, you know, any meal I wanted to, eat it, then go back an hour later, eat it again.
It was nagging pain in her knees that led her to go see her doctor. And what he said led her to change her life.
He said, you know, this weight has to come off. And if it doesn't, then your body's not going to take care of you in the long run. But at that moment, I knew that You know, he's right, and it's up to me and only me to change it.
She didn't try a quick fix to losing weight.
I completely threw out all the junk food. I joined the gym. I educated myself. I went to a nutritionist. I did all the right steps.
3 years later, Boyce had transformed her body from pudgy duckling to beauty queen. In July, she was crowned Miss South Carolina, even winning an early round of the bathing suit competition.
Are you really excited? That's
I'm
good.
Every beauty queen has a platform. Hers, as you might guess, is eating healthy and fighting obesity. And it's a mission she happily promotes, whether it's doing Zumba with kids at health fairs or speaking at her hometown city council meeting.
I'm going to bring the crown back to Florence.
Or talking to students at her former high school.
That's my problem right there. I don't do any Zumba, whatever that is. I got to work on me Zumba.
Okay, I get some Zumba down there. Things are going to be better for me, I can tell you that right now.
Other things are going on in our world. Things are happening. They're talking about this earthquake and what's really a bummer. And that is the fact that these people are out in the cold. You know, they don't want to go indoors, which you can understand because everybody worries like crazy. It's just really, really not good. To try to sum up in a short paragraph about the mortgage financing reform plan, that would be almost impossible. So you'll have to study it. Go on Google or get a paper or do something. All right. Then we have, I don't know, we'll talk about that. Okay, we're not going to talk about that. Okay. So U.S. infiltrating criminal organizations across Mexico, a network of informants has opened access to cartels now involved in more than drugs. So we got our folks out. That's got to be scary duty. Okay. Okay, I'll go infiltrate this Mexican drug cartel. It's killed 1,000 people, and hope everything works out for me. How do they get people to volunteer for these kind of positions and whatnot? A proposed state policy on septic system management is an improvement on initial draft rules, according to city officials, real estate agents, and property owners, but they also said state water officials Monday they still have concerns about its cost and possible restrictions. Official with the State Water Resources Control Board held two public hearings in San Luis Obispo to outline the proposed rules, get public feedback, and answer questions. The new policy replaces one proposed in 2008. So they got the new policy. A lot of people aren't overjoyed with the darn thing, going, okay, we're not sure. The new draft also allows regional water quality control boards to adopt local programming tailored to meet local conditions. Well, that could be useful if anything actually happened with that. So we'll just have to see on that. To see what goes on with that. Okay. Now here, this is what goes up must come down. Is that how we say it, right? Isn't that the expression? Okay, so here you have the weather satellite to launch from Vandenberg after a 5-year delay on Earth observing satellite being launched to a new test technologies aimed at improving weather forecasts and monitoring climate change. It's a $1.5 billion project, and it's going to go into orbit about 5 miles high, and then crash to Earth here a few years from now. Anyway, that's exciting right there. So we can maybe get weather reports that are dead on, or somewhat close. Yeah. All right. Can I tell you something that's happening tomorrow? Thank you. Tomorrow something special is happening, and if you can participate, I'd love to have you do that. It's a welcome home to one of our soldiers at the train station in San Luis Obispo. It's a specialist, Daniel Donahue, who's in the Army, and so we want to get everybody we can at the train station. So the idea is to show up tomorrow at 2:30. The train is due around 3. So, like they say, it could be early, it could be late. We don't know, but sometimes it's on time. So that's the deal, you know, show up at the train station. And if you're waiting and you become parched, Cafe Roma is right across the way there, and you could perhaps have a brewski. All right, but anyway, I'm always thinking. So bring flags if you have them. Bring people. Bring friends, co-workers. Bring people. So that's what you need to do. So that's going to be this Wednesday, tomorrow, at the train station. And we ask that you get there at 2:30, and all the people are going to be there doing the job. And Cheryl and Robert Tolan, who put these things together, emailed me with these things are happening. It's really cool. So that's what's happening tomorrow. I'm going to try to make it so.
That's what's happening tomorrow. I tell him to say, you know, then all of a sudden, my whole world, every day my world changes from what I thought it was going to be. I don't know why. I have no idea. Things just seem to happen. All right, now. Things just seem to happen when you're smart enough to go to Spencer's Fresh Markets, and you're going to find that things happen really good to you. You're going to find out you're paying less money for your groceries. You're going to find out you're going to get a great selection. You're going to find out that they have a custom butchers. They got the great deli department with the boar's head meats and cheeses. In San Luis Obispo, they got a soup bar. You can go over and get yourself at lunchtime, and they have places to sit. They got a little place to sit there, like it's like an indoor patio. Is that what you call it? Anyway, they and so you can sit there and eat your soup and sandwich. And relax, so this is still Taco Tuesday, is it not? All right. So it's Taco Tuesday right now, and it's only 1:25. So if you haven't had lunch yet, or if you have, and you say, I'm going on a bathroom break, and then run over to the thing, and then you can get two tacos for a dollar at Spencer's today. So I think that's the deal of the year. There's some other things about Spencer's that you may not realize, and you should know. Spencer's has lots of organic food. They have veggies and all that kind of stuff. They have quite a bit of that. And they also have a whole new department in the San Luis Obispo store and some of the other stores. They have, what do you call them? Supplements. So, you know, you need a vitamin D, B, C, A, E, whatever there. You know, they got that stuff. So, and that's a good thing to have. So you should know about that. And the other things that you need to know about are the fact that you're going to get good deals on local products, too. You're going to get good prices. And they have every local product you can think of. I don't care who makes it. If it's local, it's in that store. And I checked the other day, too. I was in Spencer's, and I checked. Remember I told you, she has her first name on the jar, but I can't remember what it is. Alda? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Tallman's. Barbecue season, and somebody we met years ago, we met Mrs. Tallman, her daughter, years ago in the market, and very pleasant people, and she makes a heck of a barbecue spice, so it's actually very, very good if you want to give that a shot. They got Susie Q's, they got Moe's, they got everybody, you know, everything you need to get your food together, and they have great prices, and we still got lots of grilling weather ahead, I think, so you might want to get all over that. That's my suggestion, is to go to Spencer's Fresh Markets in 5 locations on the Central Coast in San Luis Obispo, or Grandia Atascadero, Morro Bay in Santa Maria. Here's what they're saying. I don't know. They're saying, I don't know what this really means. I don't know how they come up with these numbers. It depends on what you buy the kid, doesn't it? I never cost my parents this much money, I can promise you. Never happened. Never happened. They say the cost of a kid from birth to 18 years of age now is $226,920. Now, where they get that number, I have no idea. I don't know. They pull it out of their ear or some other part. I don't know. Wow. Was Josh Wright? Holy cow, can you go wrong with a guy named Wright? Josh Wright said that LaRosa's going to be putting every pitcher that he has in there. And he even wanted to put another pitcher in earlier. Now they're saying that he tried to call the bullpen, and they couldn't hear what he said, which was, send another pitcher. What else would you call the bullpen? What does the coach call the bullpen for? To ask how things are out there? You know, to say, you know, how's your mom? The coach picks up the thing, calls the bullpen, and says, send the next guy in. And they already know who the next guy is. Anyway, that somehow that was missed. So in the interim, what happened was the pitcher that was pitching stayed on the mound, and the Rangers scored 2 runs. And then they had another thing they did. There was a guy batting in front of Pujols, who's, you know, the champ of the series so far. Not yesterday, but and so he was on first base and he tried to steal second. Here's the guy that hit 3 home runs in 1 game is at the plate. And so somebody, I don't know who told the guy. No, nobody's taking credit for telling the guy to run. They're thinking that maybe the catcher, somebody told him to run. There's a weird thing, but this is what was said yesterday by Josh. He said he's going to throw in every pitcher he's got. You watch. He did. And they lost. All right, now, Dodgers cut prices for season tickets. This is big news because we've been talking about the Dodgers in the wake of a season in which the Dodgers played at a half-empty stadium, and it was depressing to look at. They've cut a lot of tickets, as much as 60%. The Dodgers will cut prices for mini plans and single-game tickets as well. The Dodgers sold 2.9 million tickets last season, their smallest total in a non-strike year since 1992. Dodgers ranked 11th in the Major League in ticket sales last season, trailing among other teams the Milwaukee Brewers, the team that plays in the smallest market in the majors. The Dodgers had ranked among the top three in ticket sales every year since 2004 when Frank McCourt bought the team, and they went to heck. They sold about 17,000 season tickets this season, down from 27,000 4 years ago. Hey, dump truck. Let's see what we got the thing here. What do you got the nosebleed seats at? Most drastic prices occurred in the close to the foul poles. Field level seats in the area, also known as Manny Wood, were cut from 60% from 40 to 16. Loge seats in the corners were cut 40% from 25 to 15 bucks. Now, season seats on the reserve level and outside the bases will be sold for $6 a ticket, the lowest such price in 24 years. And seats on the top deck will cost $5 per ticket. That's the old days. I remember the old days. We'd be salesmen out there, you know, in L.A., and we'd get together, a few of us, and get on. And you had to use a payphone back then. Wasn't that easy to get together. Anyway. Hey, you know, this afternoon we can get in. And it was like businessman's day. They get let you in for $4. We can get in for $4 and go to Dodger. Not that we weren't doing our job, you know, but we worked extra hard. Then we took the day off onto the Dodger. $5. There's nothing wrong with that. All right. And let's hope that by the time next season comes around that things are all straightened out and life is good once again. That's what we can hope for, and by gosh, that's what we will hope for.
Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age. And it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. With a wide selection to choose from. They also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
That means that you've got lots of different tires?
Yes, we do.
And how do I know as a consumer that Ford has the kind of tire that I need for my particular vehicle?
Well, we carry 11 major brands, so chances are what you're looking for, we have it.
What are the important aspects of this sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts going on.
You're selling brakes as well?
Yes, we are.
Why should somebody bring their car here to get the brakes done?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle is being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
And when you stop by now, you can buy Ford Select tires and get a $100 rebate, plus a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service. That's expert service and money back in your pocket.
So you have a lot of tires, and it's a big event.
It's a huge event.
And it involves brakes, too.
Yes, sir.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
To be participating Ford dealer, visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 11/30/11.
This is Talk is Cheap, the Friends and Neighbors Network, with Bill Benica.
Let me see.
baby. Been a fool before, wouldn't like to keep my love caught in the slamming door. Are you more than hot for me, or am I a page in your history? Oh, I don't mean to make demands, but the one and the deed go hand in hand. How about some information,
happen every day at Idler's Appliance Outlet.
Unbelievable savings on refrigerators, washers, dryers, ranges, dishwashers, and more. Nobody matches our selection of closeout floor models and factory blemished appliances. All brand new, all with factory functional warranties. There's no need to wait for a sale. You can save 20, 30, 40% every day, and new stock arrives weekly.
Idler's Appliance Outlet. Idler's. The best prices just got better. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Get the Idlers. Get all the good stuff. They got the sleep shafts. They got the Lane recliners. They've got the Oreck vacuum cleaners. They got the kitcheny places. They got the appliances. They've got the outdoor stuff. They got grills. They got everything you need right there. Idlers has all of it all over the coast. Okay, well let's continue with let's go down the roll here and see if we can sort it out too. All right, now. We're going to have a report here because this is the Queen. The Queen went to Brisbane, not in Australia, but not necessarily to talk about the all the people getting eaten by the sharks. You know, just that's because that's just one of the places that she goes. So anyway, while she was there, people were doing things that weren't quite right for the Queen. She's an old gal, you know what I mean? Bless her heart. And so you got to have a little dignity there. But some people didn't have that. She got touched. She got touched, and she got mooned. And got touched by the mooning, I bet.
The river that brought so much devastation and heartbreak in January carried something far more welcome. The Queen, cruising through Brisbane to see and hear firsthand about those catastrophic floods. She docked after 50 minutes to an eruption of goodwill. Police said 45,000 locals had downed tools and picked up flags to welcome her.
Welcome to Queensland.
I wondered what she would say when I said, "Hi, Your Majesty."
A riverbank that was swallowed by the floods, now missing under crowds 20 deep. At a special reception, the chance to meet with the rescuers, victims and volunteers from the floods and Cyclone Yasi, some who'd lost homes, everything.
I could not believe anybody like that I would have the chance to meet the Queen.
The Queen paid tribute to them all.
And I have seen the fortitude, ingenuity and determination of the people of Brisbane.
It was her eighth visit here, and not without controversy. Premier Anna Bligh breached protocol Paul Keating style and touched the Queen, while this Sydney man was arrested after mooning Her Majesty for a dare.
I mooned the Queen. Get a sense of everybody's seen someone's butt.
The Queen wrapped up her Queensland visit, having won 1,000 more fans. Her Australian tour is only halfway done.
You know, get used to the idea of seeing people's butts in Brisbane, because that's the way it is. Okay. Amazing. 20 minutes before the hour, 2 o'clock. Cloudy, a little break in the action movie later today, even later today.
We got nothing.
I knew we had nothing. I could tell. I could feel it. And so maybe we'll see some sunshine before the day's over. Maybe not. All right, other things on the news. Other things are going on. Things are happening. And we're wondering why all the time.
I did all the sports I'm going to do.
Dodger tickets down to $5. Pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. All right. Other things that we need to know about. And why we need to know about them on 1340 KYMS, your news station. Now, we have this. Madonna's brother is reportedly homeless and living under a bridge in Michigan. Okay. That's a little rough. Jackson trial enters new phase. Defense attorneys for the doctor accused of killing Michael Jackson began their case Monday, targeting Jackson as the architect of his own demise by seeking to cure his insomnia with an intravenous drug, even when he was warned it was dangerous. That's his fault. It has to be his fault, right there. Transient Deborah Lee Nelson inexplicably walked into a car's path in Oceano, so she's been identified. According to authorities, she walked into traffic along the west side of Highway 1 near 17th Street just after 8:30 p.m. Friday, when for unknown reasons she stepped off a sidewalk directly in the path of a Honda. The driver of the Honda was identified by the CHP. CHP said that she could not see Nelson when she walked in front of his car. Probably not. Okay. So here we're talking about, you know, this McKibben guy is coming to contribute to Fairmont. Here's a clean energy trend fuels expansion of propane company. Paso's Delta Liquid Energy has created a separate division to market its auto gas. Family-owned propane marketer in Paso Robles has created a new division and brand to market its clean energy auto gas at California gas stations. Aaron Arroyo Auto Gas, a part of Delta Liquid Energy, now operates 4 public propane auto gas fueling locations in San Luis Obispo County and 2 in the L.A. area. Delta Liquid Energy Delta Liquid Energy, co-owned by the Platts family, the task that have been in business since 1936. Propane is, of course, a byproduct of crude oil refining and natural gas processing that historically costs about one-third less than gasoline. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see what happens. Because you got to convert. You got to do special things and all that. It's just not that. Okay. Leon Panetta, now the Pentagon chief, says we need to refocus on Asia. In Japan, Panetta criticizes China for lack of transparency as it expands its military. some of these statements are a little bit weird. If we know that they're expanding their military, do they have to announce it? When we expand our military, do we announce it? Say, oh, by the way, we just added this. We don't. What do they mean by that? Okay, that's what he said. The winding down of wars in Iraq and Afghanistan mark a pivotal point in U.S. military, which must now focus on looming threats such as the rising military might of China. So in a question and answer session with U.S. and Japanese troops in the Yokota Air Base, Panetta ticked off a list of threats that he had said demanded more U.S. attention. He completes its departure from Iraq this year and targets 2014 for the withdrawal of combat forces from Afghanistan. It's a long way away. Hey, this is important. This you need to hear. Researchers link levels of BPA in moms to anxiety, hyperactivity in daughters. Exposure to the chemical bisphenol A before birth could affect girls' behavior at age 3, according to the latest study of potential health effects of the compound used in the manufacture of some plastic drink bottles and food can linings. Preschool-age girls whose mothers had relatively high urine levels of BPA during pregnancy scored worse but still within the normal range on behavior measuring, including anxiety and hyperactivity, than other young girls. The results are not conclusive, and experts not involved in the study said factors other than BPA might explain the result. But we figured, okay, we're going to shoot for the BPA. Subtle shifts can actually have a very dramatic implication at the population level, said Joe Braun, the lead author and research fellow at Harvard School of Public Health, who was paid to do this, of course. For every tenfold increase in mothers' BPA levels, girls scored at least 6 points worse on the questionnaires. Can you determine anxiety by a questionnaire?
Yes.
Are you worried about stuff? All kids are worried about stuff.
Sure, we are. I'm worried about stuff.
Sometimes I don't understand. Sometimes I don't understand. We mentioned WikiLeaks, I think, yesterday. They may close by the end of the year because they're short on dough. Yeah, well, however you feel about that, feel about it. You know, we have different, many of us have different feelings about it. Vermonters take their maple syrup seriously, so much so that the state U.S. senators have introduced legislation that would make it a federal felony, punishable up to 5 years in prison, to sell something labeled as maple syrup when it's not. So, because they say maple-flavored syrup, is that going to be okay? Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy introduced the bill in the wake of recent Food and Drug Administration investigations found a Rhode Island man had been selling cane sugar-based syrup as maple syrup. Under existing law, fraudulently representing something as maple syrup is a misdemeanor punishable after a year behind bars. There, now they're mad. Right? We got the trees. We got the maple trees. We got the syrup. We want you to... Fine. Los Angeles sheriff's officials say they have seen a surge in the number of criminals being sentenced to county jail instead of state prison under the shake-up program. Assistant Sheriff Cecil Rambo, the guy's name is Cecil Rambo, he's the sheriff of police. Anyway, he said Monday that since new rules kicked in October 1st, more than 700 inmates have been sent to L.A. county jails who otherwise would have been state prison people. Rambo says that so far county jails are seeing an additional 235 inmates per week, more than 170 officials had expected. Didn't think this was going to go well, did you? Yeah. You start shuffling people around, you know, and thinking you're solving a problem, and you're not solving a problem. You're creating one problem. One problem's getting solved. The other one is screwing things up. That's the way that works. I don't know why anybody would be surprised about it, but, you know, sometimes people are very surprised at the darndest things. That's the way it is right there. All right, let's see what else we've got going on here. I'm going on CNN here because there's something I wanted to share. This was in the news at the very end of the day yesterday, I think when I was leaving at 2 o'clock. I got to get this story up and share it with you because it's just really it's really hard to imagine, to tell you the truth. It's just as hard to imagine. And luckily, they didn't provide a lifetime warning, I guess, for this guy. Because this story basically says a guy has put a million miles on his car. A million miles on his car. Boy, talk about driving till the doors fall off. Holy dump truck. A million miles on his car. So we're going to find out more about this guy and find out what the heck is going on. Let's see if it's possible to put a million miles on your car. And how is that so? And why can't we all do it?
Actually, when we were driving in, I said, why are they closing the street? What, are they having a parade?
That's exactly what they were having. It may look like a regular news conference, but add a plane, parade floats, and a marching band, and you have a celebration.
That car is just... that car has been amazing.
Joe puts an average of 14,000 miles a month on his car for his work, which takes him all across the state. He works as a mechanic consultant for car warranty companies. Joe's brother David says that reaching 1 million miles was a goal of his for some time.
Joe was determined. He said when it hit around 500,000 to 600,000 miles, that it's now a mission. And he was gonna get a million out of it. And I'll be darned if he didn't working at it and keeping it up, and he made a million. That's kind of amazing.
Joe was expecting a small gathering with a few family and friends, but nothing like having his face over dozens of flags and floats.
It was a big surprise. My face was even a bigger surprise.
The giant odometer powered by human-sized hamster wheels slams home the point of 1 million miles. Joe's sister says that his car looks like it's in pretty good shape.
It looks beautiful. You would never know that it's been on the road a million miles.
Joe says there really is no secret to keeping his car on the road this long. Most of its main parts, like its engine and even front calipers, are all originals. He's changed a few parts, but says he's kept up with his manufacturer maintenance schedule, and it's been pretty smooth driving.
That one has a timing belt, so you change the timing belt roughly every 90,000, so it's had like at least 9 or 10 of those. And you just keep doing it.
Joe was given a brand new 2012 Honda Accord presented by Miss Main. He doesn't know what he'll do now with True Glue, but his family has an idea.
He'll probably drive it until it turns into dust.
I mean, it took 15 years to do it, so it may take me 15 years to decide the next step.
There you go, right there. Driving
a long road to a very happy new beginning.
All right, there you go. All right, I'd say go for 2 million. That's what I'd say. All right. That's pretty amazing, a million miles, you know, and they had the big parade and everything. It wasn't until the very end when they said that he got a new Honda that you had some indication of what kind of car it was a Honda. And so that's... And if you want to buy a Honda in San Luis, I have a friend out there at Honda, Sunset Honda, Jim McConaughey. What a nice man. Very, very nice man. So I'm gonna do a plug for Jimmy. If you're looking for a Honda, go out to Sunset Honda and say, Bill told me I need to speak to Jim. He'll be glad you did. That is hardcore stuff. Just a really nice man. All right, let's see what else is going on. Here's a great story.
CNN has obtained that surveillance video from the gas station, which is less than a mile and a half from baby Lisa's home. And in that video, it shows an unidentified man walking down the street at 2:15 in the morning of October 4th, the morning baby Lisa disappeared from her home. Now, authorities, specifically the FBI and the police department, are not commenting specifically on that videotape, but they do tell CNN that authorities are looking at all surveillance video from the surrounding area. Now, this is pure speculation at this point, but this video could possibly match witness testimony saying people saw a man walking in the dark carrying a baby in a diaper that morning she disappeared. And the gas station owner we spoke to says that it is very unusual to see somebody walking down the street at that hour. Now, also new today, Deb, we can tell you that a lawyer for the parents is speaking out in reaction to authorities investigating inside baby Lisa's home on Wednesday, and they say that that search was necessary because of a cadaver hit on the scent of a dead body. But here is the lawyer's reaction.
There is, thankfully, no destruction. There are no walls torn out. So whatever x-ray they did not confirm whatever it was that some dog thought it meant. The police have a very difficult job, and they have to start at the center of the world that this little girl lived in.
Now, just a couple of hours ago, Deb, an emotional Deborah Bradley and Jeremy Irwin actually came back to this home. They're right now staying with relatives a short drive from here, but they came back to the home for a special candlelight prayer vigil held in front of their home where family members, friends, and neighbors in the surrounding area came out, and they all say they remain optimistic that baby Lisa will return.
Which wasn't the story I was going to play at all. But anyway, we had that story. I'm still going to get to this other story because it's going to be really kind of fun to preview. Okay, because a toddler saved her mom with a phone call. A toddler. Now, these kids, younger and younger and younger, they're losing how to use these phones and whatnot, you know, on the computers, and they're all wired in. They're wired in. That's what's going on. So we got to find out more about that and see what it takes to get wired in like that. So it's just a quickie story, but I thought we'd play it and you can hear it. So this is a toddler whose phone call saved her mom.
2-year-old Leah Vega likes to play house and sing. But it's her vocabulary that is getting her all the attention at home.
Mommy put all the floor and mommy for the house.
Larissa Taylor was at her mother-in-law's house with Leah and baby Lexi last Thursday.
I was going to wash my daughter's bottle, and I blacked out after that, and I woke up to my mom shaking me, waking me up.
She did not know she was diabetic. She also had no idea her little girl knew how to use the phone.
I never taught her how to use the phone, so I have no clue how she picked it up. I'm assuming just by watching us.
Leah's grandmother, Bobby Gonzalez, was on the other end of the phone call.
It was Leah, and she said, "My mom fell down." And I said, "Well, let me talk to her." And I could hear that she put the phone close to Larissa, and I could hear a lot of, you know, it's a lot of gurgling and noises. And I said, "Let me talk to your mom." She said, "She won't wake up."
Gonzalez then called 911 and rushed to the home.
A matter of minutes, they said.
Larissa got to the hospital just in time.
I can't imagine losing her. So Leah really came through for us that day.
Proud mother is giving Leah props.
She's been wearing a towel around the house, calling herself a superhero because mommy's told her about it. So definitely she's my little superhero.
And grandmother, some extra hugs.
She likes to aggravate and pick on her grandma. She's my best friend.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life.
Some things in life are bad, they can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. This'll help things turn out for the best. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. Life's a counterfeit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and that's the joke, it's true. You see, it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember the last laugh is on you.
Bright side is the best side to look at. I'm Bill Becker. Thanks for joining me today on 1340 KYNS San Luis Obispo. We will get together again tomorrow at noon. Until then, know your trails, be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap.
The game is over.
The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Becker.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails.